Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the very first time, we're pleased that you're here. We who are here week in and week out would like to come and shake your hand, offer you a word of welcome, but if we don't get to you soon enough, you come find us and introduce yourselves, because we do want to know you, and we would love it if you chose to make your home here with us. One way to do that is by being involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. And you can find out a good bit about that by looking at the bulletin inserts. I'm going to lift up just a few things. First of all, once again, our youth are participating in the 30-hour famine. If you stop by Reed Hall after the service, you will find a number of names of youth. You can find a prayer partner so that you can be praying for that young person as they fast, as they experience just a tiny little bit of what many people around the world experience all the time, and as they raise money to help address hunger issues around the world. Next week is our monthly all-church lunch after this service, at the end of this service, again, catered by Martha Stamps. If you know you intend to go, please email Kirk Clark or call the church to let us know that you're going. Don't have to have reservations, but it does help to plan if you know you're coming and you let us know. This afternoon at 5 here in the sanctuary, the Tazay service will be conducted. If you're looking for a time of quiet, a bit of respite in the noise and the busyness of the world, this is the service for you. Believe me, there's singing, scripture reading, silence. And if you would like a time of rest within your spiritual journey that also helps you grow on your spiritual journey, you might want to try to say if you haven't already. We are encouraging folks to wear their name tags. You can find a whole board full of name tags out here. That's how we get to know each other. It's how we learn each other's names. And if you don't have a name tag, there is a list out there. We will make you one at no charge to you. The only requirement is that you wear it. And finally, the Diary of Adam and Eve will be produced by our drama ministry on the Fourth Story Theater, February 21st through 23rd. You can see more about this in the bulletin insert, but I know many of you will want to come see this. It's based on the work of Mark Twain in a dramatized version, and I hope you'll take advantage of that ministry among us. Now, if you should find, this is a great problem, but if you should find that you can't find parking in our parking lot, we have arrangements with the Caterpillar building next door. We can park in their garage. You get to that off of West End. You can park in the few spaces that are on this side of Pinnacle Bank, which is across 23rd. But if you park in the covered parking behind Pinnacle Bank or in the parking above at GameStop and Office Depot, your car will be booted. They've just started doing this. The people are on site who will boot the cars. We've talked to them. We've tried to work with folks, but only park in our parking lot or the Caterpillar parking lot or those few spaces in front of Pinnacle Bank, because we don't want you all to have a terrible surprise when you walk out of worship. We have some guests here this morning from the Reconciling Ministries Network. They're having their board meeting here in town. We're glad you could join us. And a longtime friend, Bishop Melvin Talbert. So, Mel, welcome to all of you. We're glad you could be here. Wait, listen. Do you hear it? The seeds are germinating under the ground. The seeds of faith are germinating in each of us. God at work in us and among us.
come to Christ, that living stone, rejected by the world, but in God's sight, chosen and precious.
We have responded to Christ's call and seek to be built into a spiritual house, a living reminder of God's presence on earth.
Once we were no people, but now we are God's people, called out of the darkness into God's marvelous light. Therefore, we sing with the church in all ages.
Blessed be your name, O God, our Redeemer. By your mercy, we have been born in you to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Let us confess our unfaithfulness and the limits of our trust. As we pray together, righteous God, we confess with sorrow that we often forget who has given us light, who has nurtured us and called us to serve out of love. We forget to follow your living word and work to serve our own worldly desires. Forgive us, merciful God, when we fail to act as a community together and provide a home for you. Loving God, grant your forgiveness when we fail to act as your agents of love and justice in the midst of the wider community. Keep us in the way we must go, O Lord, our Redeemer. Thank you for calling us back, O God, for never giving up on us when we turn aside, for always loving us even when we forget who we are and who you are. Amen. Please join with me as we pray together our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Epistle to the Corinthians. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come up and join us, you're welcome to come at this time. And if you need to bring a parent with you to feel comfortable, that's perfectly all right. Well, I'm wearing something a little different than what I wear usually, huh? This belonged to a very good friend of mine, another United Methodist pastor. His name was R. Harold Hips. And R., he didn't use his whole first name, he just used his initial. Died a couple of weeks ago. I got to help celebrate his life yesterday, and he asked me to wear this. And so I did, and I'm wearing it today, and I'll be wearing it again at the Jazz Mass in memory of my dear friend. Now, when I was a little boy, we had a big garden, and my dad allowed me to have one row that I could plant whatever I wanted to in. And I wanted to plant peanuts. Now, you probably get peanuts in a jar or maybe in a canister or a can, and they don't have the shell on them. But when they grow in the earth, they have a shell on them. Well, to plant them, you can either plant the whole shell or you can take them out of the shell, making sure not to get the kind of reddish cover off of it. You put them in the ground, and then you water them. Now, we didn't have a hose that you could bring all the way out to the garden, so I would have to fill a bucket with water and go water my peanut plants. I'd fill another bucket and go out and water it. And then all you could do was wait, because there wasn't any way I could make it grow. But after a while, you would see a little sprig sticking up through the ground. And before long, you would have a big peanut plant. Now, peanut plants have little flowers that grow on them. And when those flowers begin to wither and go away, you take the dirt around the plant, you take a hoe and you loosen all that dirt, and you cover up those blossoms with dirt. That's supposed to help the peanuts grow. But you still don't know if they're growing or not. You come, you keep bringing the water, you keep loosening the dirt, but you don't know unless you have peanuts, that you have peanuts until you go out there at the end of summer and you take the plant and you pull it up, and there, from under the ground it had been growing without you seeing it all that time, were peanuts. Sometimes you'd have a few, sometimes you would have a lot, but it was always a kind of little miracle to me when I would pull that plant up and there were those peanuts. I knew that while I planted the seeds and while I carried the water, while I helped cover up the blossoms, I didn't make those plants grow. I didn't make those peanuts grow. God made those peanuts grow. And the same is true with us. There are people who come around and they'll say something to you. It's kind of like planting a seed. They'll teach you how to be kind to each other. They'll teach you how to speak words of love to other people, to welcome them. But somebody else has to come along and encourage you, kind of like me carrying the water. Somebody else may come along and kind of get you all shook up or disturbed, like when I loosen the dirt around it or cover up the blossoms. But all of it is to help you grow as followers of Jesus. Now, this is an image that St. Paul used about how we grow as followers of Jesus. He was talking about how one person plants a seed and another person waters. And he didn't add this, but he didn't grow peanuts either. He loosened the dirt around it and covered up the blossoms. But all of it was for one purpose, so that we could be followers of Jesus Christ. So as you listen to the sermon, think about that a little bit and see if it makes a little more sense as I talk about it some more. Okay? Let us pray. Thank you, God, for bringing people into our lives who plant the seeds of faith, who water those seeds. Thank you for those who come and disrupt and disturb us. Thank you for those who may cover the blossoms so that a deeper faith may grow. And especially thank you for the love that you have shared with all people through Jesus the Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. Well, now, St. Paul is continuing his conversation with the Corinthians. He is disturbed because he has gotten reports from Chloe's people that there are folks among the Corinthians who believe they are superior to their brothers and sisters because they have a certain spiritual gift, because they've had a certain experience, because they have certain knowledge. And this disturbs Paul. He wants to address it directly. Last week we talked about how he made a distinction between the spirit of this age and the spirit of God that is supposed to be at work in the Corinthians and in us. This week he says, I can't talk to y'all like a bunch of spiritual people. You think you're oh so spiritual. I can't talk to you like a bunch of spiritual people. I have to talk to you like a bunch of babies. He didn't mean it as a compliment. Is there a more self-centered creature in the world than a baby? I mean, they have to be to survive, right? When they want something, they want it, and they want it now, and they let you know they want it, whether it's food, whether it's a change of diaper, whether it's to be held. But then as we mature, we're supposed to begin to not only do some things for ourselves, but help other people along the way, recognizing that the world does not center on us. But Paul says, you people are still babies. You think you're oh so mature. You think you're oh so spiritual. No way. You're babies. I couldn't feed you solid food. I had to feed you milk. Isn't it interesting that Paul describes himself as a mother at that point? Because in that day, there was only one place you got milk. Paul is their mother, feeding them on milk. Because they're not ready for solid food. Now, what's the evidence that they're not ready for solid food? I find this very interesting. The evidence that they're not ready for solid food is all the jealousy and quarreling among them. Whew, wonder what he'd say about our church today. Wonder what he'd say about our United Methodist Church. We can't even say that we disagree when it's obvious to everybody that we do disagree. That's how infantile we still are, according to Paul's standard. But then he offers a number of images. The one today is drawn from the agricultural realm, but then he offers the image of building. Later he'll offer the image of the human body to try to help the Corinthians see how intertwined their lives are, how they depend upon each other so very much, and that if they're going to grow as disciples of Jesus, they're going to have to get out of infancy and start to mature. Now, there are a number of different models of how we grow as followers of Jesus, become followers of Jesus. I grew up in the rural South. And the model that I grew up with was what you might call a kind of magical model. You would go to a revival and you would have a very intense and emotional experience. And when you had that intense and emotional experience, you would walk up the aisle. And once you walked up the aisle and accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you would be taken out and baptized. And that's pretty much the end of it. That was it. You were a follower of Jesus. You were a disciple. Boom. Magic. Never really worked for me. Now, our tradition handles it a little bit differently. We have a kind of manufacturing image of how you make disciples. We manufacture disciples of Jesus. We baptize them when they're infants, and we put them on the assembly line. And they go through nursery and first grade Sunday school, second grade Sunday school, third grade Sunday school, fourth grade Sunday school, fifth grade Sunday school. Then in sixth grade, they go through confirmation, the end of which makes them disciples of Jesus. No more to do. That still doesn't work. Now, I'm not saying that people can't have an intense emotional experience of the presence of God. I hope at some point or other we all do. But that's a beginning, not an ending. I'm not saying we shouldn't be involved in Sunday school, either as children or adults. All of that is helpful. What I am saying is that this is a lifelong process. It has many beginnings, but no ending. The process, as Paul describes it, is that one person will come along and plant a seed. Apparently, there have been some people in Corinth who are claiming credit for themselves because of who converted them. Now, there are scholars who would dispute this, but he mentions it several times. I think Paul is serious here. One says, I belong to Apollos. Another says, I belong to Cephas. Another says, I belong to Paul. He says, no, you don't belong to any of us. Because, you see, one of us planted the seed, another watered the seed. Another came along and cultivated, but none of us had anything to do with your growing, not directly. It's God who gives the growth. We just assist along the way. I think that's a recommendation for our itinerant system, actually. You know, you probably won't wind up with the same pastor all your young life. But one pastor will bring a certain set of gifts, and then another pastor will bring another set of gifts, and another will bring another set of gifts. And when you have more than one pastor on staff, you get a whole collection of gifts all at once. But we all work together. We all have the same goal, to help produce disciples of Jesus Christ. According to the discipline, that's our job description. We are to be out making. I don't really like that word, too much of the manufacturing about it. Maybe growing disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Not just so we can feel good about ourselves, not just so we can feel spiritually superior or knowledgeable, for the transformation of the world. That's our job. And so along the way, somebody plants seeds, somebody waters, somebody cultivates, and the cycle goes on over and over and over. Because you see, in an agricultural cycle, you don't just do it once and then stop. If you did, you would starve. No, every year, you plant, you water, you cultivate, you harvest, and then when the season is there to lie fallow, I know my daddy used to plant clover over the whole garden area. He said it added nitrogen to the soil when we plowed it under in the spring. And we did it over and over and over and over. I think that's what Paul is encouraging, that continual cycle of growth within the community of faith. It never stops. I mentioned this robe. Some of you knew R. Harold Hips. R. was 93, quite a character. R. was a United Methodist pastor, had gone to High Point College and Duke Divinity School. Now, the legend has it that he was kicked out of High Point on two different occasions before he finally graduated. Both times for criticizing the administration. It's a wonder they let him back in the second time. While he was the minister of education at West Market Street Church in Greensboro, he was host to some students who sat down at a lunch counter where they were forbidden to sit because of their race. There were folks who weren't too happy about that with R either. But the thing I remember most about R was his joy. Everywhere he went, he planted joy. And yesterday, instead of a eulogy, we had, now I should tell you, R designed his own service. He didn't put in requests, he put in demands. This is one of them. And we had a time in the service that was called We Remember R. There were some people there that he had met when they were children who talked about the seeds that he had sown in their lives. There were folks there who had met him when they were teenagers, talked about how he had watered those seeds of faith that had been in his that had been planted in their local church. Some folks he met when they were in seminary or already working in churches. In his role as the leader of the Christian Educators Fellowship, he traveled the world, teaching people the joy of this faith that we are called to. I first met R when I was in seminary. I had no idea who he was. I was in Evanston, Illinois. He came up, this diminutive fellow who looked very much like a leprechaun. I think maybe he was, actually. He gave me the best pastoral advice I ever received. It was very brief. He said, "For you who are going to go on and serve churches, I just have two things to tell you. Love the people and keep them dancing." I thought, great advice. Now, he probably meant literal dancing, okay? Which is probably not something you want to see me do. But I think he also meant the figurative dance, that dance of joy, David dancing before the ark in ecstasy. He started a service here called the Jazz Mass. And yesterday's service was a jazz mass with the jazz band and everything. On Shrove Tuesday, every year in this congregation, we have pancakes downstairs, and then we come up here. We celebrate Holy Communion. We are led in by a jazz band. We dance in. And we celebrate the joy of the many gifts of God that the next day we will begin to give up, because the next day is Ash Wednesday. For a period of time, we will not deny their goodness, but we will choose to limit our use of some of the gifts of God, partially in solidarity with those who don't have that choice, who don't have those gifts available, partially to remind ourselves that we don't depend upon all of these physical things. We depend upon the love of God mediated through so many different ways. And that contrast between the dancing and joy of Shrove Tuesday and the Jazz Mass and the solemnity of Ash Wednesday marks the transition into Lent with a stark line. Lent has never been more meaningful to me than after I started being part of Jazz Mass and then Ash Wednesday. Now, what I say about R really should be true of any of us. We should be out there planting those seeds of the joy of our faith wherever we go, wherever we have an opportunity, watering the seeds of faith that have been planted by others, helping them to grow in the joy of this faith. Cultivating the soil so that they can find the room to breathe and grow. Sometimes disturbing the soil so they will have room to grow. You see, some folks see church as a place where you come to be with people who all agree with you. I don't find that to be church. I think we come to church to learn to love the people who don't agree with us. I believe when Jesus said, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you and bless those who curse you, he then gave us a laboratory in which to practice that, and it's called the church. This is where we practice so we can go out into the world and love those who may hold different opinions, do things in different ways. This is what we are called to. This is the field. We still call it the mission field, don't we? You are God's field. This neighborhood is God's field. This world is God's field. We are the gardeners who plant the seeds and water the plants and cultivate the ground and know that finally, it is only God who gives the growth. We don't control a bit of it. We do our part. We do what we can. But we're not the ones in control. It is God who gives the growth. And aren't we grateful that that is the case? Thanks be to God. One way we water our faith and cultivate it is through creeds and affirmations. And so let me invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. And join me as we affirm our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil. Proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following this service. And first-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table during this fellowship time, where you will find information about the many ministries of this church and a fresh baked gift for you. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please note if these requests are to be shared or confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Also, please take a moment to review your to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad down the pew if you have not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew, please take note of who you are worshiping with today and greet anyone you may not know at the end of this service. This morning, our sympathies are extended to the family of Ivo Burns McAllister Jr., who died Monday, February 10th. A private internment of ashes will be held at a later date. Also, we extend our sympathies to Dave and Karen Mullendor, as their family is mourning the death of Dave's mother, who died January 23rd while visiting family in Marietta, Georgia. Services were held Saturday, February 15th in Louisville, Texas. Now let us turn to God in prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Loving God, we seek to follow your desire and walk in your ways, to observe your commandment, to love God, love self, and love others. Bless, O God, this land and all the lands of earth. Fill the minds and hearts of leaders with wisdom. As your servants, may we labor for your purposes, building, gardening, watering, reconciling, growing peace. May we work together, sister and brother, brother and sister, as God's field, God's gift to you, to me. Loving God, we seek to follow your desire and walk in all your ways, and again, to observe your commandments, that we might love God, love self, and love others. And now let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May we offer not only the ordinary things of life like our money, but also the extraordinary and give our whole selves to God. We give thanks that through our gifts, God will work in this place and in our world.
Now I send you forth to plant those seeds of faith among those who have given up on faith. Nurture and water those sprigs of faith that grow everywhere you see them. Cultivate and disturb the ground around those who need to grow even more and room to make that happen. And serve God and your neighbor in all of this and all that you do, knowing that God, who is the one who gives the growth, Jesus Christ, who was the true picture of spiritual maturity, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to walk in Christ's way, will accompany you this day, this week, and forevermore. Go in peace.